Welcome to Seeing Your Inner Brilliance. I'm your host, self-worth and confidence coach, Charles C. Childers, who is dedicated to supporting visionaries, big dreamers, and high achievers like you. My passion and calling is normalizing those big, audacious dreams and desires and shedding light on the very real inner experiences that are unique to our journey. It's what makes this podcast so special, that we can come together as big dreamers and high achievers and be in a safe space with each other to be real, raw, transparent, and vulnerable while also being inspired. Yes, we are here to do amazing things in this world and to leave a lasting legacy. And the best way that we can achieve that is by being the fullest, most aligned version of ourselves. Through authentic interviews with fellow big dreamers, practical tools, resources, and actionable strategies, let's step into our fullest potential and create the life of success, impact, and legacy that we desire. If you're ready to align your belief system and upgrade your nervous system with your Mount Everest-sized goals and embrace the unique internal journey along the way, then you've come to the right place. I'm so glad you pressed play, and I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Now let's begin. I gotta admit, I am so excited to be starting this day and this week with a sunny day. We're coming off a week that was mostly cloudy and rainy here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I don't know about you, but the weather really affects my mood. I'm just not someone who enjoys the rain or the cold. So if that's you, I'm sending you mad love right now. I like it sunny and warm. And thankfully, my birthday was actually the one sunny day out of the week last week. But still, multiple days in a row of rainy-ish weather. Whew. Really causes me to dig deep into that inner motivation. It's just so much easier to be surrounded by sunshine all the time. That's actually one of the things that I absolutely love about this podcast, because we are all big dreamers, high achievers, and visionaries. Our dreams and paths might look different, yet we have the same energy underneath. We are a force to be reckoned with, truly. Not everyone in this world is wired like us, and that is okay. Not everyone believes that they can move mountains or are crazy enough to change the world. Not everyone gets woken up at all hours of the night with inspiring ideas that they just have to write down or start on. And not everyone can be as obsessed with something as we are. I am beyond excited for our guest today, the amazing Gabriel Cornejo. He is someone who's crazy enough to run for president. And I admire his tenacity and fortitude to answer that call to something bigger and greater than himself. So regardless of your political views, I invite you to plug into this conversation. I know that you're going to really relate to it. We're diving into topics like pursuing our passion without the qualifications, staying clear on your why through any obstacles, and using motivation to find purpose. I can't wait to hear what comes up for you during our conversation and while you're listening. So be sure to let me know about it on Instagram and be sure to tag me in it. If I know anything about you, it's that probably right now you are either working out, cleaning the house, actually working, you're driving, you're doing something while listening to this podcast. So be sure to either grab a quick sticky note or even, you know, write something on your hand if you're driving, but just be able to capture those things within this conversation that stick out to you. And don't forget to head on over to Instagram. So without further ado, Gabriel, you are our very first presidential candidate that has been on the podcast. I'm excited to get into what that looks like, how you even came up with this dream and accepted that dream. And I want to really acknowledge you right now, because you're currently sitting in a car in the rainstorm. You're about to catch a flight. You're at an event. And that's just a beautiful epitome of what it's like when we're going after our dreams, that there is a fun side, but there's also this quote unquote messy, beautiful side. So thank you so much for being here, Gabriel.
No, of course. My pleasure. I'm very excited to be on your program as well. And yes, the thing that I always point out, especially when dream chasing, is often people get to see the sexy results, but just like 80s movies, there's a montage of work, and that's where I think that we're going to get into that. And this is what this looks like, being in the car, just to make sure that we are putting in this work and relaying exactly what my experience is like in this particular endeavor. But to get into how this all started, honestly, it was not something that I really had an interest in embarking on at this specific moment. But the way I operate is when there's work to be done, the real ones do work. Okay. And in this particular case, our nation, I feel, is not going to be led in the right direction with either of the top candidates that are pushed out to most people. And knowing that the direction of our country is of concern, and knowing that my background is to get things renovated so that they work efficiently, I decided that it was time to get involved in trying to renovate America so that way we can improve the experience that we're all collectively having. And my background is such that I've renovated things like the nation's largest electric meter project out in Southern California, Edison. It was 5.4 million meters, 50,000 square miles. I was in charge of 360 unionized employees to deploy this award-winning project. So I always have this ability to think large and understand moving parts. I even started my own company, and this company that I founded, which was after this near fatal car accident in 2011, was an attempt to try to save democracy by challenging Amazon, because what I anticipated at the time was that Amazon was going to kill a lot of small businesses the larger it got. And so, knowing that that was the case, that was going to be a threat to democracy and capitalism. Because what happens when you get a capitalistic society that is monopolized, you see the end of capitalism. And so, me knowing that this was the case, my pursuits have always been to try to create the conditions for community to thrive and serve and do more than surviving, which is what we have today. And that's why I'm here putting in work, doing things like being at an event and in the rain, in the car, because I know what's at stake. I want people to have joy and happiness and fulfillment. And sometimes the montage of that is something as crazy as running for president of the United States.
Oh my goodness, I feel your passion. I feel your heart. I feel the essence of what you stand for and that it's coming through as far as you running for president. So, is being president your ultimate dream, or what is the dream? What is the legacy? I heard renovating America and surviving and thriving. And so, that very much has a renewing and empowering sense of it. So, Gabriel, what is your dream? What is your overall legacy that you're moving towards?
Yeah, the piece that I alluded to in the soliloquy I just gave, right, was I was in a near fatal car accident in 2011. I was in a rollover in a convertible. I was lifelighted to the hospital. And part of that experience, if you can imagine, I fractured my skull, suffered brain damage, broke my hand, all these injuries. But the wisdom that I attained from that experience is that we're not promised tomorrow. And so, therefore, if we're not promised tomorrow, what are we waiting for to find happiness and fulfillment, right? And so, what this looks like, and the reason why I'm running for president isn't for title's sake. It's not for I want to be the leader sake. It's because I want to create the conditions for other people, especially in our country, to be able to have the conditions to find fulfillment for themselves. And right now, the state of our nation is such that people don't have time to actually think that way because they're doing nothing more than surviving from paycheck to paycheck. And knowing that myself and the way that I operate is to put others first, my family foremost, right? I've lived in 11 cities in two countries, and I find everywhere I've lived, people have the exact same perspective where they care about the well-being of their loved ones. And so when I talk about the objective of prioritizing families and prioritizing communities versus just the comforts of the wealthy, that resonates because heart and heart, we care about our loved ones. So why not create the conditions that prioritize our experience? Because we're having it all together, right? And ultimately, the renovation plan that I have for America is by prioritizing things that in my life and shared experiences that I know that many people, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, will benefit from. And that's where things like my time living in Canada, I got to experience their version of healthcare. And so that's one of my top priorities, is to create the conditions for us to have a universal healthcare system, because we are paying presently twice any industrialized nation is paying per capita for this broken system that's more expensive by at least double. And so for me, it's like, okay, knowing when we are at our most vulnerable or our family members from a medical emergency, why do we have in America this condition where we have this scenario of finances rather than just focusing on the recovery of our loved ones? That vulnerability is important to me, and that's part of the human experience. And if we can remove that piece, that exponentially changes the overall societal impact, because living in Canada, and the reason why they have this reputation of being polite and kind is because they don't have these stresses that come along with their system when people are at their most vulnerable. And the impact is felt across the nation. And that's, for me, something that I value and I want for my family and everybody else's family in America too. And so that's why, knowing that we are not promised tomorrow and having this passion for life and others, is what I want to afford our nation to shift our focus towards.
I can really tell that you are undoubtedly passionate, committed to the betterment, not only to yourself, but for everyone else. And that comes across, I mean, as far as you being a CEO at one point and starting your business, if you are in that position where you can influence change, then that very much also parallels with what you're doing today as far as running for president. So I really love the embodiment of your legacy as far as fulfillment and betterment and helping people reach that place where they're happy.
Right. You know, there are the priorities of our country have been so like money driven, right? And I know plenty of wealthy people that are not happy. So when we have this message that was impressed upon us and we're seeing the end results time and time again not equal happiness, then somebody needs to come in and be the voice of change and say, look, I understand what was the message that we just focused on, but obviously that's not leading to the end result that we wanted to accomplish. So let's change our perspective and approach. Just like any startup would, you iterate, you pivot, right? This is part of that experience. Our nation is in this period where we're seeing the failures of the existing structure and mental focus. So it's time to change strategies. So I'm trying to be the CEO of the United States, change the culture of the United States, just like any business is. The experience that all the employees have are based on the leadership and the culture that they establish.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm curious, with such a big calling and a big, I hesitate to use the word undertaking, but it's this assignment, this fire in you that you have to do, you have to pursue. It is unstoppable. It does not burn out. How do you maintain that sense of empowerment to create and influence change rather than falling under the weight of what I call Mount Everest-sized dreams? You know, how do you sustain that empowerment and that drive to keep going so that you can get to where you're wanting to go?
Yeah, you know, there's a few different points that I use as a message that people can kind of relate to. And it's the argument of, how do you eat an elephant, right? Because the elephant's so large, but it's one bite at a time. The strategy's still the same, right? I just happen to be in a place where, even though I know the task at hand, and there are constant reminders that let me have perspective. So for example, I was in New York yesterday, and every time I get into a scenario where there are hundreds of thousands of people operating around their daily lives, I constantly reminded, you want to be the one that's responsible for all these people. Of course, you get that perspective and you're like, what are you doing, right? But in truth, it's like, well, why am I doing that? It's not the what, it's the why, right? And the why for me is completely solidified. So it doesn't matter how many obstacles you put in my way, right? Ultimately, because I'm driven and I'm actually interested in having this impact rather than just trying to collect a title, it's the impact that I'm looking for, and what motivates me is the why of it all. And for most people, it's harder to uncover that, because what ends up happening is you discover along whatever pursuit that you're actually going towards, whether or not you are clear about your why. So for example, if you had a company idea or just some opportunity that you wanted to fulfill and you run into obstacles, you find out an answer of whether or not you truly wanted that or not. Because if you run into all these obstacles and you stop doing what you were pursuing, then you get clarity that, oh, you know what? It turns out I didn't really want it enough because I was willing to stop because of X. And so you're choosing to understand at that moment that wasn't the right path for you, one way or the other. For me, it's the exact same thing, right? If I find scenarios like, and this is going to get into the political side of things, the Democratic Party is actively keeping presidential candidates off the ballot. Well, imagine if I just said, well, I guess I'm done. They're actively going to get in my way, which of course I knew going in. Then why would I even start? Right? Because nobody's going to give you anything. But when you're clear about your idea and why you're doing it, all the motivation comes, even when you have those bad days. There are challenging days, just like anything else. Can you imagine being in my position? Not everybody's going to agree with my perspective, and they're going to verbalize it, and not in the greatest fashion. It may not even be the politest fashion, but it doesn't matter, because I know what ultimately I want to accomplish is going to be of value for them as well, whether or not they agree with me or not. That's the perspective I operate with, right? Because I know in my heart of hearts that I'm doing it for the purpose of providing for others, not just for myself.
So what I hear you saying is that your conviction and inner resilience is so innate, and it is anchored so deep within you that it is what allows you to fly to New York one day, go to an event the other day, to keep going even when things beyond your control, like when a state doesn't allow you on the ballot, that it's that conviction and that inner resilience that fuels you and drives you and ignites you, because you are so solidified in it. Is that correct?
That's correct. But I also referenced that car accident, because I use this phrase. For those that are soccer fans, football for the rest of the world, there's this thing called stoppage time. When the time runs out of the game time allotted, there's an undisclosed amount of time that the players don't know that takes place for overtime. Okay, and so since this car accident, I've operated in stoppage time. So for me, I never know, because I also operate with the idea that we're not promised tomorrow. Why not go for what I want today, right? Even if it's hard, even if it's got obstacles that present themselves on the daily, what else am I going to do? Am I just going to sit and cry about it? Because that doesn't really actually accomplish what I'm after. I can assess and evaluate and figure out new perspectives on how to approach things, but it doesn't serve me to hold on to that, right? What serves me is being of service, which is the wisdom that I gained from that perspective and that near fatal car accident, is I find fulfillment by helping others find fulfillment, right? That's my calling. And I've been clear about that, especially since the car accident. So what else is there to be focused on? In my mind, it's ingrained now. So, it's funny, because I use this, the movie, The Matrix, as a reference, as an old philosophy idea, but the movie references the red pill. Once you've taken the red pill, you can't unknow what you know now. So in that way, I can't turn this off. That's who I am.
I love it. I love it. And I can feel it in your words and in your tone. So if you will, to bring this down in a very real and raw way, if you remember, walk me through those first moment when it came to you to run for president. What did that look like? What did that feel like?
All right. So I'd like to give context to this. And again, I didn't make this decision until it was the deadline for the first state, which happened to be my home state, Nevada, to get onto the ballot. But this year, well, at that time, it was 2023, I had four family members pass. And so it was a very challenging year. And one of those family members was the son of my great aunt, my 86-year-old great aunt. So I went out to Arizona with my mother to go help with his passing. We uncovered that their home had been infested with bed bugs. So we took my great aunt right away out of there, and we brought her back to Vegas with my grandparents, her sister. While she was gone, her last living relative, her grandson, passed away within 2 weeks. Okay. So we decided as a family that we need to relocate her with us. So I went and renovated her home so she could afford to live in Las Vegas. At that time, once I was done, I knew that for me, this scenario was not uncommon to any other American, along with every other experience that I've had. I'm just the average American, and I know that the experiences that we're all having collectively can be greatly improved. And I knew that the leadership that was being presented before us was doing nothing to create the conditions to improve them from my perspective. And so that's when I said, okay, you know what? If nobody else is going to do it, I'm going to do it. Because for me, I'm not afraid to get in there and get my hands dirty. That's why I use the Renovate America as the tagline, because my experience and background is whether I'm starting a tech company, whether it's running a nationwide largest project, whether it's actually building homes, renovating homes, whatever the challenge is, I'm going to master it because that's who I am. So why can't somebody come in into America and lead the charge on renovating it? To me, it seemed like such a, I guess, an inspiring moment in knowing that, okay, if I'm going to do this, knowing that I have examples of my life that whatever the challenge I was told I shouldn't pursue, I went and did it anyways. Well, why can't I apply that same philosophy and mindset to this?
Hey guys, jumping in real quick to what Gabriel is talking about here. And I almost skipped over it when I was re-listening to the episode, but then I thought, whoa, 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 we need to break this down. Oh, this is so profound, and I'm so grateful he mentioned this. It is so crucial for us to have this mindset of being able to list all the reasons why we can do something and truly have that belief within ourselves that we can do it. And then taking it even one step deeper here is being able to recognize the patterns that aren't in support or in service of our next level and where we want to go. Because at any given moment, we can pull out a list of reasons for why we can't. Maybe it's something big, as in somebody told you when you were younger that you wouldn't amount to anything or that you couldn't go beyond corporate or beyond the family business, those types of things. Maybe it's something like me in the summer when my kids are home, my mind naturally goes to, oh, I can't do that. We're going to be busy with summer vacation. The kids are going to be here, so I'm not going to have that time to myself that I'm used to during the day to be able to work. And so it's so easy for us to be able to grab hold of those lists of why we can't. And that's really what Gabriel is talking about here when he mentions that whenever there's a challenge that he's been told he shouldn't pursue, that he went out and did it anyways. Yes, from a physical taking action standpoint, he did it, but he needs to have the belief in himself and what he's doing in order to be able to do the action that's in alignment with it so that he can work for himself rather than against himself. He has been able to collect enough evidence in his life, either through past successes, moments where he was told he couldn't do something and he defied the odds. He has used that to collect evidence for why he can do something, for why he can go out and face challenges, regardless of what people think. He has evidence of his capabilities, his potential, and his capacity for greatness. Can you feel the sustainability and the inner power that comes within that? So, running for president or building a company, for him, it's not about chasing the success. He doesn't chase the success in order to feel good about himself, in order to feel capable or to feel like it's possible for him. No, he has collected his own evidence internally of his capabilities that he can do it. And he already feels that way about himself, which gives him the fuel and to go from living in limitation to living in a world of possibilities. And that's what allows him to do crazy things like running for president or becoming a CEO or renovating a house. You know, even that can be such a huge thing. So I wanted to be sure to capture that of really the essence of what he was talking about, because it's one of the things out of my 7+ year journey of building my own legacy and cultivating the belief within myself to be able to bring about the impact that I want and to serve as the role that I do for big dreamers and high achievers. This type of believability and anchoring into myself and using evidence as a tool for that has seriously been one of the most impactful things I have done. And I return to this day after day after day, time after time after time. Because like I said, at any given moment, we can grab our list of can'ts or why we shouldn't or who said that we couldn't. So we need to be constantly in this pursuit of building this evidence for why we can. And if you're really resonating with what I'm saying right now, what we're talking about, then I want to invite you to be part of one of my programs. It's called BTG. I'm about to open the doors. We are going to start in a few weeks. BTG stands for Be That Girl or Be That Guy. And it's all about living your success, aligning with your desires, embracing your journey. And that's what leads you to achieving the success that you want. It's not about chasing success or looking for the external validation or hoping that an army of people rush to your side and tell you that you can and just fill you up. And then you go out and do those things. No, it's about cultivating all of that, all of the mindset, the philosophy, the believability in your capacity. Exactly what Gabriel is talking about. So if this is resonating with you, I invite you to go to charlesechilders.com/BTG for more information about that. Now back to our conversation.
And this is totally just like a startup where you come out with the messaging, you iterate, you have failures, but when you have those failures, you learn from them and you ultimately figure out how to navigate those. And so this is just inherent to the experiences I've had ever since I started pursuing things of this nature.
I love that. Thank you for going into that, that it sounds like you had been maybe thinking about this or contemplating it, but in this moment of renovating a house, you had this epiphany or this revelation that I need to do this. I need to take this at its essence and go from renovating a house for a family member to renovating America on a much larger scale.
Right. Right. Exactly.
That is so beautiful, Gabriel. So beautiful.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that the average American experience is just to be able to create conditions for their loved ones and enjoyment. And knowing that what's at stake for our country and how we could vastly improve that. And I've always had interest in politics in terms of just the impact on in people's lives that it has by having leadership that steers the direction of our country. There was always an interest in getting involved on the public side. It was never intended to be now, but I know that this is the election cycle that matters most because of what we're getting offered is not something I believe in. And I think most Americans don't believe in are actually steering our ship in the right direction, which I believe is towards families and communities.
I know from my own experience, as well as I hear this from my clients, as well as the podcast listeners, that a lot of times that imposter syndrome comes in of who am I to do this? Who am I, Gabriel Cornejo, to run for president? Who am I? Who am I to take on that undertaking? Who am I to really create that amount of change that is needed in a country? Do you ever wrestle with that? What is your perspective around that thought of who am I?
Yeah, you know, ultimately, I don't have that those thought process of, am I enough, right? That's never been a question, just because whether or not I have the experience or whether or not I have the background, I know that I mentally have the drive and the fortitude to execute on whatever that idea is. But what I tried to impress and what I created my first campaign video on my website was to create the narrative that matches who my character is, right? Because I would much rather have somebody leading the nation who at least has the right character and the right perspective versus somebody who may or may be more appropriate to put in the position, but has the wrong focus and has the wrong direction and vision for America. So for me, knowing that I have full confidence in myself, I haven't ever had like that moment where, no, I don't, this is not something that I should be taking on. It's that's, I know what's at stake, right? I know the alternative is not somebody I believe in, but I've also learned along my own pursuits that most of the time people that have been in charge of other projects that I've been in, or even industry leaders, it's like, you're no smarter than anybody else. I'm certainly just as capable. I just happen to know that, and that confidence doesn't wane for me.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you so much for saying that, because whether it's in your position of as far as your worldly traditional qualifications, you know, you don't have decades of experience in politics or any of the other traditional candidates may have had, you know, you are a CEO, you are an average American giving voice to other average Americans. And so maybe on your quote unquote resume, you don't have the worldly qualifications. And I know that a lot of people listening right now, they may be in the same boat. They may be looking at their quote unquote resume and saying, but I don't have that certification. I don't have that college degree to do this. And I love how you beautifully articulated that it isn't your worldly qualifications that matters. It's your drive, your fortitude, your passion, your purpose. You know that you are called to facilitate the fulfillment in other people's lives. And that is what sustains you and keeps you going. So thank you for going into that.
Yeah, of course. I used to talk about this idea. I say life is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So for those that are allergic to peanut butter, change the analogy a little bit for you. But ultimately, let's just say that you wanted a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. What would you do? Most people say, oh, I go to the fridge, get the peanut butter and jelly and make the sandwich, right? And so I say, great. Now, what would you do if you didn't have peanuts? Would you go to the store? Would you go get peanut butter? What if that store didn't have peanut butter? Would you go to another store? Would you go to another, right? You have to be clear that you want the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, that you're so willing to even learn how to grow peanuts yourself if you have to. But if you decide not to along your journey because it's just too difficult, then you at least are learning you didn't really want the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Maybe you were hungry and you just wanted something else. You settled for something else, right? But for me, the clarity about what I'm doing this for and knowing that motivates me, and knowing that I don't have all the answers in every instance, and I'm definitely going to fail, because that's to be human, right? But I am that guy that knows I want the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and that just happens to be steering the country in the direction that I think prioritizes our families and communities.
I love that analogy. That is really going to stick with me about the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, because you're so right. If we don't have the clarity that we want, if we don't have the conviction that we want, if we don't have these ingredients that are going into the thing that we ultimately want, then not only going out and getting it, you know, and being willing to quote unquote grow it ourselves. And I just really love that. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that. And thank you for, of course, from that you're running for president, and that is so commendable that you're doing that work. And you're also such an inspiration to us other big dreamers and high achievers, that maybe it's not running for president, but maybe it is something of equal magnitude in our own lives, whether it be a real estate agent, a fashion designer, writing a book to bring about change, whatever that is in our lives. So thank you so much for accepting the call to do what you're doing. Thank you for being a testament of obedience and continuing to do the work, even sitting in the car and in the rain when you had a flight yesterday and you have a flight today.
I do.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a story that I always share with folks, especially because sometimes like that clarity is really hard to uncover, right? But what I do know is everybody has an idea of what they think they will find fulfillment from. But what matters most is that you take action to at least go explore that. Because even if, in my analogy, maybe you set off and you thought you wanted a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but maybe you uncovered, okay, I actually found that there were almonds available and I have an almond butter and jelly sandwich, right? Maybe that's something I actually preferred instead. But that discovery process is what matters, because when you take those actions and you move beyond the fear, you're going to start getting answers quick about whether or not your original idea was the right idea. And all that's doing is pushing you towards what actually fulfills you and what that clarity looks like. My first startup, I did not have a tech background. So I didn't know how to code. I didn't know how to communicate with those that did. And I didn't even have the ability to understand how to design, to translate for developers to develop my application. So I used what I knew. At that point, I knew how to use PowerPoint. And I did a mock-up that way, right, to try to do my best. And through this process, I learned how to use tools that ultimately I ended up using to create and design the company and the websites and everything that came along with it. But that was along the way. We may not have out of the box all of the clarity that we need, but we get that as part of this process. As long as you are clear that this is something that you're willing to put in and figure out, you certainly will. And if you don't get the answer that you were looking for because you had this original idea, still be active and pay attention to what it is that you truly are motivated by and what that idea that is pulling you towards, because those show up in various forms. And it's so cool once you uncover that mentality, but you also gain this confidence in yourself as part of this experience, because you understand, yeah, this obstacle came my way and I overcame it, or I went around it and it opened up another avenue. Those things are a part of that journey too.
Yes, yes, yes. I don't think I could have said that better myself. That was so good and such a beautiful way to end this conversation with that type of inspiration for us all. So I'm curious, before we go, how can we support you? How can we learn more about you and what you stand for?
Of course, of course. Well, my campaign site is gabe24.com, gabe24.com. And so if you're on social media, whether it's IG, Instagram, TikTok, and the like, I have handles for all those, the Gabriel Cornejo. Or if you just go to my campaign website, all those stories are also included on there. And what I do is I put out content in digestible ways, because what I find in myself and what I pride myself in is being a great communicator, because I like it when people have clarity of understanding. And so I use analogies and stories as part of even this experience, giving you backstage access to things that you may not be interested in, but I try to make it interesting, because politics isn't sexy, but it's important. And that's why, for me, if you're able to come check me out, take a look at my policies, I even have all my contact information on there, because I want to be reachable, because this isn't just about me. This is about a we. And so feel free to contact me if you have any questions, because I'm an open book, and that's what I believe in, that we need in leadership. Lead by example, and that embodies me in wholeheartedly.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, Gabriel.
No, I thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you allowing me to share this message with everybody. And so I want to leave with one thing. I'm on the ballot in California, Texas, Utah, Colorado, Minnesota. If you know anybody that wants or thinks that this message might resonate with, please share that I'm on the ballot there. And I would love your support going forward. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you. And I appreciate all the time we had together.
As we wrap up today's episode, I want to leave you with this. Focus on the possibilities rather than the limitations. Remember to collect evidence of past successes and moments where you've defied the odds, just like Gabriel did. Let them serve as fuel for your journey as a legacy builder. Your dreams are within reach, and you have the power to make them a reality, with or without those worldly qualifications. I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's conversation and how it resonated with you. So be sure to head on over to Instagram and tag me in your story. And if you found value in today's episode, please consider sharing it with somebody who might benefit from these insights. And you can even leave a review on the podcast. That is a really great way to get the word out, because Apple actually bases their algorithm around reviews. And so just by leaving a review, you are sharing this message with other big dreamers and high achievers and people who really need to hear this message. Thank you for tuning in. And remember, you are capable of achieving greatness. Until next time, keep chasing your dreams and building your legacy.